Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world. Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the Oxford.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, Seun Kuti has finally been released on bail after 8 days in detention. There's been so much back and forth between his legal team, the magistrate's court, and the police. The police wanted to keep him in custody for longer while they continue investigating him. But now the magistrate has insisted that he be granted bail. And the police should come and present their case. That's what the magistrate says. Now we're hearing that they are scheduled to be in court today. So I'll keep my eye on that story. And the more I know, the more you'll know. Second hard fact of the day, President Buhari has approved the handover of houses that were promised to the 1994 Super Eagles for winning that year's AFCON 29 years later. Oh yes, we have so many cases like this of government. Oh my God, I've just been told that I've been talking and my mic was not on. Apologies about that. I don't even know if you heard the first thing I said. I think you did. Very faintly, but you probably did. But yes, I was saying that Seun Kuti has finally been released on bail after 8 days in detention. There's been so much back and forth between him and his legal team. Like I said earlier, for those who caught it very faintly, the police wanted to keep him in custody for longer while they continue their investigation. But magistrate has insisted that he be granted bail and the police should come and present their case. I know that they're supposed to be in court today, so I'll keep my eye out on that story for updates. And then second hard fact, President Buhari has approved the handover of houses that were promised to the 1994 Super Eagles for winning that year's AFCON. Government promising stuff is something that we've seen so many times, right? We've seen this over and over, yeah? They'll promise something to champions during the euphoria of victory and then never deliver. The captain of that team, Stephen Keshi, is dead. He never saw that house. The highest goal scorer, Rashidi Yekini, is dead. So it's great that President Buhari is honoring Sani Abacha's promise. I just wish that it didn't come 3 decades too late. Something that never comes late, though, is hard facts, because over 1 million Lagosians are listening and they're choosing this show every day. They cannot be wrong. Thank you for tuning in alongside them. I've got a great show for you, starting with the big three. Let's talk about President Buhari saying that Nigerians should eat locally grown rice or die. Then let's talk about the UK's ban on postgraduate students' dependence. And then let's talk about Lagos State Government's latest 115 billion naira bond issuance. Today is Wednesday, so we'll bring you the glass ceiling. On the glass ceiling, we'll talk about widowhood rights. I got an interesting call from someone called Mr. Blessing last week, Wednesday. And I really want to talk about some of the points that Mr. Blessing raised during our conversation on this same subject last week. On Balogun and Broad, I want to talk to you about debt collection. When person collect gbese and no one pay the gbese back. I want to talk about that on our business segment at 5 o'clock. After the news at 6, we'll have more conversations on the step down. We started a fantastic conversation yesterday about what Nigerians expect from step parents. And we'll continue that conversation at 6:15 today. If you missed it yesterday, today's a good day to tune in and listen again. Expect news, business and sports at the top of the hour every hour. But let's get started with today's Big Three. Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
This is the Big Three.
The Big Three.
On Hard Facts.
On 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Should President Buhari have said or die? A Nigerian student, a victim of the UK's post-Brexit populism. Will the Lagos State Government manage its new round of debt prudently? Those are the Big Three, Lagos. Let's talk. President Buhari said that he closed the borders so that Nigerians would either start growing what they eat or die. That's our first story. And no, I'm not putting words in the mouth of the president. Like I said, I'm not putting words in the mouth of the president. He actually did say it, and you can listen to him by yourself.
Nigeria insists that they have to impress their neighbors and other people that they eat foreign rice. I said, no rice. You eat what you grow what you eat, or you die. I think I tried to make my point. And later, Nigeria appreciated it because it provides more jobs. People go back to the land. We have the land, and we produce what we eat.
Mr. President speaking there. The president is talking about the decision to close the borders to prevent the importation of rice and other goods. Now, before we talk about the policy itself, let's talk about this soundbite. Should the president have phrased it that way? Should a president be telling his people who voted for him that he's ready for them to die if they don't start doing something that he believes is the right thing for the country? Also, let's talk about why so many Nigerians eat foreign rice. Because you heard the president say it's because they want to impress their neighbors. Is that why you eat foreign rice in your house? Do you eat foreign rice in your house because you want to impress your neighbors? If you eat foreign rice or you ate foreign rice before the border closure, was it because you wanted to impress your neighbors? Or was it because it was what was available? Or was it because it was of a better quality than the domestic rice that you were seeing in the market at the time? So you made that choice for your family. I don't know. You tell me. Why did you eat foreign rice when you were eating foreign rice? And what do you think about the general thinking behind that statement from the president? Because he has gotten both support and pushback. You have some Nigerians saying that he's right and that the only way local capacity gets built up is if we patronize it. But then you have those who ask why the president did not take this same approach towards healthcare, for example. Specifically his own healthcare, because throughout his 8 years in office, he's been going abroad for medical checkups and for prolonged medical treatment, even though we have hospitals here in Nigeria. So his critics ask, was the president going abroad to show off to his neighbors? Should the president have enforced his own standard on himself and said to himself, stay in the country and only get the medical care you can get in the country, no matter what? Should he have said that to himself? That's what his critics have said. I'm not saying it. His critics have said it. Because like I said, the statement from the president got both applause and condemnation. And of course, there's also the debate about the impact of the policy. The supporters of the policy point to the fact that domestic rice production has increased and domestic consumption of domestic rice has increased. But the critics point to another fact, which is that domestic production still cannot cover domestic demand. And so people are still eating imported rice. The only difference now is that more of that rice is being smuggled in instead of passing through the border posts. And that means the Customs Service is losing official revenue. And instead, it's entering the pockets of smugglers and the officials who allegedly help them. Another impact issue is prices. Food inflation started shooting up with the border closure. Yes, food prices went up worldwide, first due to COVID, then due to the Russia war with Ukraine, Russia invading Ukraine. But even before the pandemic and the war, Nigeria was already facing food inflation. And the FAO, the IMF, most economists, all of them point to the border closure. So with less than a week left in the Buhari administration, the big question is, was the border closure a good policy or a bad policy? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. How did the president's grow what you eat or die statement hit you? Do you agree with that sentiment? Should the president have also extended it to his own healthcare? Do you agree with him that Nigerians eat foreign rice to show off and impress their neighbors? Was the border closure's impact on prices, GDP, customs revenue worth the increase in domestic rice production? That sounds like an I beg to differ debate topic. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. And of course, we've got Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. And we've got Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, where we're streaming live. Hi, thanks for calling us.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
This is Rita calling from Lakwa.
Rita, do you eat foreign or domestic rice?
Sandra, I eat foreign rice, but not for me to show up to my neighbor. Why is even the local rice served itself? Sandra, the local rice that has sand that cannot eat.
Well, some of them don't have sand. Some of them are properly done now.
Sandra, okay, where is the local rice in the market? Where the farmers are? They are killing the farmers.
Are you saying there's no local rice in the market?
There's no rice in the market, and you're saying if we don't want to eat it, we should. Sandra, in fact, that comment is actually bad coming out from the president's mouth. Sandra, at the end of the day, this station is regulated. We cannot talk. We don't have anything to say. If a president will come out and say if we don't want to eat, let us die. You are wishing your citizen to be dead. Sandra, it's so annoying. Closing the border, Sandra, is the president eating local rice? Let them go to his house. As we've said it, he has been going. Here we said their children should stay in Nigeria and school. They refuse because the bill, if they pass the bill, they won't allow it. He's going to abroad to just do a toothpaste. In fact, imagine 21 billion naira was used to build a hospital. He's living there now. You expect other people lead by example. What's the example that Buhari have shown us? And he's telling us to eat it. What's the difference between the foreign rice and the local? How much difference is it? So if I say something good, I should not go for it to eat. It's only good because I am not a Nigerian. Only the Nigerians are meant to eat it. Go to his house. Let's go back to those days that they were sharing during the COVID-19. Sharing of food. If they store food in their houses, were they not foreign food?
Richard, thanks for calling. We've got an anonymous caller on the line. Welcome. Talk to me.
Yeah, hello Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome. Talk to me.
Yeah. I sell rice. I sell foreign rice.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
The closure of the border made so many individuals to become rich.
Okay.
And custom.
Okay.
Yeah.
How so?
These smugglers, they'll bring in and, you know, the money that's supposed to actually enter to government post doesn't enter government post. It enters into private individuals' hands.
Okay.
And because of the money they charge, the people that bring it in, you have to put your own price there because it's cash somehow, because they cannot access local rights. Because we are selling it, we find it difficult to even get the local rice.
Why? Can I ask why it's difficult to find local rice?
Yeah, because there was a time, you know, the when they bring in the foreign rice, if you check the price of the foreign rice and the local rice, you discover that the price of the local rice is higher compared to the foreign rice.
I see.
And when some of us go to Katsina to look for the local rice, we will not get it. And what really actually that used to happen is that customs, they will be the ones to pass the rice. They will still be the ones to come to your to market to go and pack people's rice. And right now, what the customs are doing is that when they pass rice, they will start in the night. They will go to people's shops and be packing rice.
So you're saying allegedly that they will allegedly allow the rice to pass at the border and then still come to the market to allegedly raid people who have bought the smuggled rice and then allegedly go and resell it.
Yes, that's what they do. And at times, because of the price of bringing it in, the risk of bringing it in because of custom, we have to increase our own price. So you get one bag of rice at the rate of, if it is, we have small and big one. We have what is called the long grain. The long grain is right now is 32,000, 33,000.
Okay.
Then the short one, which is agric, we sell 28, 5, 29, at times
30.
Depends on where you are selling it. Then if you are taking it to the east, the price is around 40,000.
But if you're selling in Lagos, it's much cheaper. So you're saying that at that time that they closed the border.
I sell in Songo. That's the main area we are bringing. They are bringing in
the rice. Okay. So sorry. I feel like I have a gold mine because you're on the call with me. So I'm going to ask a lot of questions. So you're saying that that time that they closed the borders, it didn't stop rice coming into the country.
Yes. Which border did they close? They pass rice now. Custom pass rice. We have days. We have weeks. Unless maybe the people that are bringing it in, all this firewood, when they fight with custom, they did not agree on certain times. You discover that rice will not enter. People that has it, some people will hold it. Then that time you will see the price. For instance, last week, the rice could not enter for 1 week now. But today they have passed rice again. So the price has also come down small.
I see. And you're saying that all of that money doesn't enter any official government pocket. It's just a few individuals and a few...
It enters. They have their orgas. Custom, they have their orgas that they will pass the rice. It will enter their post. You understand? And when you come down, you see all these illegal customs, even some of these scam boys, you discover they will go and carry custom moto. With police and immigration, they will be inside it. And you will see them, you know, passing, you know, monitoring the road, checking people that park rice in their vehicle, and stopping them and parking their rice. That's what they do.
Okay. I have to ask, when a customer comes to the market, do they ask for local rice at all, or do they just...
Why would they ask for local rice? They cannot ask for local rice because the foreign rice is more refined.
Okay.
They prefer foreign rice.
Okay.
If you have local rice, you will not even sell it. You won't sell. Because sometimes when we carry foreign rice, we find it difficult to sell.
Right.
They will not buy from you. They will tell you that they want foreign rice.
Right.
That is more refined. And the local rice that they refine very well is very, very costly compared to the one we bring in. You understand?
How much is the is the very well refined local rice? And how much is the...
if you're buying it here in Lagos, that should be around 35,000, 36,000, 37,000.
Okay.
Then, whereas the that long grain, you get it at 33. They can supply to us at 31, 31.5, 32. You understand? Then the local, the short one is 28, 29.
Okay.
Yes.
Anonymous, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing all of this insight with us. I really appreciate that phone call. Thank you, Anonymous, for calling. Agboma is on the line. Agboma, welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Maria.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Talk to me.
Yeah, it's a shame anyway how the president put it. But it's a known fact that the only borders that were closed are those in the south. The northern borders were fully open. So, and the rice were coming in through that side. And that goes a long way to prove that he actually wanted the people of the South to die. So, from his statement. And those who couldn't die, henchmen and...
Okay, I'm going to have to end that call because it's quite an inflammatory thing to say that the president wanted the people of the South to die, number one, and then to go on to make the rest of the comments that you were attempting to make on that call, because there's simply no way to back up a comment such as that. And while people continue to say that the northern borders were open and it was only the southern borders that were closed, we have found that the order was for the entire borders to be closed. So that, again, just like the smugglers smuggling in rice were able to do it, that perhaps if some borders were open longer than they were supposed to be, it doesn't mean that the president co-signed on that particular action. All right, let me take a look at messages on WhatsApp. This one here says, the rice policy is a disaster because herdsmen discouraged most farmers from farming, and the president treated the killers with kid gloves. Henry from Shagam with that comment there. Sandra, Buhari should have had his medicals in Nigeria. His wife should have spent most of her days in Nigeria than in Dubai. His son should have driven local motorcycle and not been taken to Germany for medical treatment upon his accident then. His daughter should have had her education in Nigeria than in the UK. Like I always say, hypocrites scattered all over our leadership space. Sandra, when I came to Lagos for the elections in February, our bus driver bought 10 bags of rice and loaded them in the bus and settled the 3 custom checkpoints. Note, it was a night bus. We came into Seme at about 4 a.m. So many firework cars were loading their cars with bags of rice. Chris from Accra with that message. All right, Chris, thank you very much for your message. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll talk some more about the president's comments, but we'll also go to the UK, where foreign students will no longer be able to bring their families. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is The Big Three. Don't go away.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We are back.
We're back on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Foreign students in the UK will no longer be able to bring their families. That's our second story. Again, you can watch live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. The UK just announced this change to their student visa policy for postgraduate students in non-research courses. Currently, they can bring their spouses and children with them, but from January next year, that's going to change. Now, those of you who listen to me on Fridays know that this is the kind of story we put on Friday at 3. But be rest assured, this is not Big 3 Global Edition. It's Wednesday. It's not Friday. We are talking about this because it does affect Nigerians. Nigeria receives more UK study visas than most other countries. We're right up there with India and China. So this will materially affect thousands of Nigerians who will apply to study in the UK and may have wanted to take their family members with them. The Conservative government is taking this step as part of its promise to reduce legal migration. But there is some pushback from within the UK. In fact, the Education Secretary fought against a stronger rule which would have affected all postgraduate students, including those in research courses. Because at the end of the day, the UK still needs to attract the best minds from around the world if they want to stay globally competitive in innovation, especially after Brexit. And if the best students have the option of going to another country with their families, many of them may do that. Also, let's not forget that foreign students are a great source of revenue for UK schools, for UK businesses, for the UK government. So the business community is not finding this thing funny at all. Because they pay taxes to the government, they pay higher school fees than citizens. So the universities themselves also not finding this funny, because it's expected that this will affect the number of students who may want to go to school in the UK. These Nigerians and their family members are spending money on the economy, in the economy. So it seems like the UK is trying to strike a balance here between getting the best brains and getting that revenue, but also keeping the number of immigrants down. I don't know if it can work. Do you think it can work? Do you know anybody who could be affected by the rule change? Have you studied abroad? Did you do it with your family or without your family? What was the experience like? Do you think the West is growing increasingly hostile towards immigrants? Do you think this new policy is sustainable, or do you think the UK will eventually reverse course under economic pressure? Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. That's for women. 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. We've got WhatsApp, of course. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How you doing? What's your name, ma'am?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's your name?
Sandra.
Yes.
Can I still talk about the rice?
Yes, please. Rice? Talk about it. Yes.
You know that when it happened, an office speak big Oyibo.
Oh, yeah, join me. No worry. I did wait.
If your father, your own father, will speak some words, it's like a swear.
Mm.
This one when Baba talks, so I call and swear. Because security not there. Farmers don't go to farm. How will they get enough rice for us to consume? I eat rice 24 every day. But now foreign rice, because I don't select rice.
Mm.
Sandra,
mm?
This matter is a strong matter. Make Baba not swear for us. Give us the last swear before we come out. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Now, of course, foreign rice, when I was growing up, he had to select. Local rice, when I was growing up, he had to select. Eh? But the ones, what did they do now? It did nice. It did okay. And as you heard from that rice seller who called us anonymously, the ones where they refine well, it did slightly more expensive, but those ones did. But again, why you go force people to buy something where they slightly more expensive if they can buy something that is slightly cheaper? Personally, if I go market like this, if something they more expensive by 2K, I go buy the one where they less expensive by 2K. Because I like save money small from different places. And also, there's the question of choice. Who born you to dictate to people waiting they fit shop and waiting they no fit shop? There's a question of choice as well. Right? It should be up to me to decide, okay, today I want to eat foreign rice, or okay, today I want to eat local rice, okay, today I want to eat some sushi, okay, today I want to eat abacha. You know? It should be up to, because okay, make a commot, you know. Let me speak with Kevin in Surulere. Hi, Kevin.
Sandra.
Welcome. Talk to me.
I heard that you were shedding bread when you returned.
Yes, I was, but you were not around. So you don't qualify. You don't qualify. You know they're around. The only people that are around qualify.
Please, wise, I heard yesterday a car from Edom. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sandra.
Mm.
Your earlier story, you talked about giving the keys to the homes of the 1991 Super Eagles squad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried.
Okay.
You mean if my calculation is right,
mm-hmm.
I hope it's not wrong. It's 31 years from that time till now.
Yeah. No, 29.
29 years, 1994.
Yes.
That those houses were promised them.
Yes.
We've lost the big boss. He's not around again.
Yes.
He's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Uchu Kafo is passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So many other people, Rashid Yekini is passed on.
Yes.
I don't know. I think Tom Sholia is not around again. I don't think so. So many other people have passed on, and they're just bringing the kids to those homes. This is a sad story of the country we live in. And that score of 94, we are yet to see any score that is like that to date. I don't think we can...
We haven't. Kind of we haven't, yeah.
And you're just giving them those homes. This is a sad story of our country. And congratulations to Shem Kuti. He has been released. You know, the police tried to kill him for 21 days. That did not happen. I hope everybody have learned their lessons. Nobody should slap any policeman. And no policeman too should slap anybody.
Mm.
That is the thing. We have to strike a balance there because people are just putting one side of the story. Policeman, too, are not supposed to touch anybody.
Mm-hmm.
On your right story, there's nothing the president is going to say again that will surprise me. It's just less than 7 days to go, if I'm right. Let's just allow the man to go. People have walked up over so many things. I'm not among those people. I'm just looking up for a better country. And I hope we'll get that better country.
Mm.
I hope in my lifetime, because I also enjoy this country at a point in my life, that there's a time I will cry that I don't want to go to school. My mom would just go to UTC. There's a place they call UTC in Sulele. Those that grew up in Sulele.
Mm-hmm.
She would just go there and get me a bicycle to appease me to go to school.
Ah, you were a rich boy.
No, there was nothing like rich or poor. There was that middle class. Everything was just normal in those days.
Mm-hmm.
You can't differentiate between the rich and the poor. Nigeria was just a fantastic country. Even this UK you're talking about, who was the first to go there to go and study? People were coming there. I had people in my classes that were coming from UTC to come and school here with me. So, I think we should get to do this right. I hope this country will be better. I've seen a part of it when it was great. I hope we'll get back there. After my life, we'll get back to our country of our dreams again. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. All right. Let me take a look at the messages that we have on WhatsApp. But first off, let me take this call from Kenny. Oh, I know. Kenny's call isn't coming through anymore. All right. So let me go to WhatsApp then. On WhatsApp, we've got this message here. Sandra, Buhari asking Nigerians to eat local rice or die of hunger has shown that our rulers don't care about those they are ruling. Hold on, let me try and finish that message now. Okay, all right, so yeah, they don't care about those they are ruling. When Nigeria was better than her present state, foreign rice was the main rice we eat. The local rice, if not properly selected, can be a gateway for one to have appendix. How many rice farms Buhari get? I beg, make these governments stop till they whine us. Tony Tonero with that message there. All right, we've got Kane Day joining us from Finland. He's back on the line now. Kenny, they talk to me.
It's Kenny that is there now. I changed it to Kenny.
Oh, sorry, Kenny. Kenny, talk to me.
Well, I still say okay. Yeah. Okay, so about the UK stuff, I think their decisions were based on the data they have. And the data shows indeed that the ratio of students to dependents is 1-to-1.
Mm.
And of course, they have to also consider their population. The only unfortunate thing is that they use the Nigerian to validate their policy. So, but then, that's what a good country does. They plan for their future. But of course, I know they will relax it at some point. But for now, they have to first take some measures. About the rice issue, it's unfortunate that Buhari had to present the situation like that. But I think it's a good policy. What I would have expected is that he would have increased the tariff on foreign rice and things like that. Instead of closing the border, he would have increased the tariff on rice as he's doing with the importation of cars recently, so that you can encourage local production and local patronage.
Yeah.
I want to use this as an example. So when I came here in Finland and I was going to their supermarket, I would see these people, they were still long in a particular place looking at products. And I'm wondering, what are they looking at? Why are they so taking buying? Until I discovered that they look at every product to check whether it's made in Finland. they check for products that are made in Finland, whether it's costly or whether it's expensive or no. They want to buy made in Finland product. They don't care whether it's expensive. So we have not gotten there yet as a country, but I hope at a point we'll get to that place, to that patriotic place, where we first look at the products we are buying. We check made in Nigeria, made in Nigerian rice, made in Nigerian cars, so that we can get to that point that we are patriotic about the things we do. So I think it's good, but maybe the way Buhari put it is bad, but it's a very good policy so that we can start taking Nigeria first before we start taking other things. Thank you, Sandra.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. But it's interesting that, you know, while Kehinde was talking about Finland and the Finnish taking a look at what they wanted to buy before they bought it to check for, is this made in Finland or is it not? The citizens of Finland were still exercising choice. So they had a choice. There are two items on the shelf. You can either buy the made in Finland one or you can buy the made in abroad one. You still had a choice. What Buhari's administration did was take that choice away from Nigerians. The Finnish people definitely did not close their borders because they wanted to get people to patronize Finland products first. Because most economists will tell you that banning importation of certain things, closing borders to enact that ban, long term has terrible economic impact on your nation. Not my words. You listen to IMF, you listen to FAO, you listen to several economists, they'll tell you the same thing. So while encouraging homegrown, made in wherever, local, whatever, very good. But, you know, do you have to do it in a way that hurts your economy and takes choice away from the consumer? That's the big question, I think. Abiola is here. Abiola, unmute yourself. Let's hear you. Talk to me. Hi, Abiola. Can you hear me?
Hey, Tumi.
Yes, go ahead. Talk to me.
I can hear you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Well, number one, see this policy. Just leave that policy for me. Leave it out for now. Because it's a political statement. You know, it is in Nigeria when we want to do even local election. Who will kill themselves, they will... No, I just came into Manchester. I just see at the doorstep, they have bring the card that they will use to vote in this local election. Right. So there was a local election that Sunak party, I've not even understand much about their politics.
Yeah, so the Sunak, Conservative Sunak, Party lost
Sunak
a lot.
Party mm-hmm. lost a lot mm-hmm. in that election. And yes. The major reason why he lost was because of immigration stuff. So the party was like, do now, okay, let us reduce this thing. Why they come add that? But I think next year or so, when they have the full election, the national election, that policy may as well be reviewed, because the reason why it was reviewed in the first place was because they lost the local election. So that is one. Because don't forget that are coming with their dependents. They are not coming in for free. The UK government is making money, patient stuff. So they're closing it for now. I can tell you for free that just wait, after this, their national election, there will be review. I am very sure of that. That is point number one. Number two, is the issue. I don't know. Do you have local rice in Nigeria?
Yes, we do.
The lake rice. Before I left in December, I don't understand. I have not seen local rice.
We have
the
local
lake rice. The lake rice between is it Nasarawa now and Lagos State? I've not seen lake rice. If you remember, left in Ogun State, he did one big pyramid and said he has big farm for Ogun State that Ogun State can give rice. You know, in Ofada, which is one of area in Obafemi Ode local government, the reason why it is Ofada is because they plant rice and you know Ofada now, you should...
Yes, I know Ofada. I know Ofada, yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. So, him to go and develop that Ofada, the locality, develop what they were doing, Amosu went to bought rice, had the rice, and called Buhari to come and commission that he has one big farm somewhere. After that day, rice in the circulation in Abeokuta. So when people are talking about local rice, I don't know what local rice people are talking about. I have grew to know Ofada rice. Even when I was coming to UK in December, I came here with Ofada rice. I still have Ofada rice in Manchester now. So, but any other local rice, I don't know. All these politicians, all these our leaders, all these, okay. You people, you are a journalist. Go and do investigation. Go to market and take rice now. Because there is lake rice. I've told you, the one I most did in Ogun State, forget about that one. That one is zero.
Yes, the government has talked about lake rice. They said lake rice was just to see what was possible, not as if it was going to be in the market permanently. But Abiola, thank you so much for calling us. We think that your points have been made as far as the conversation is concerned. Now, let me bring you our third story very quickly, and then we'll take a few more calls. Governor Sanwo-Olu says that he will spend the government's latest debt wisely to develop the state. That's our third story. Remember yesterday I told you about Funsho Dohoti's warning about the latest bond issue. The state government is raising 115 billion naira from the bond market and 19 million in Sukuk funding. Dohoti says there's a danger that this money will not be spent wisely to build up infrastructure and social services. But Governor Sanwo-Olu is saying not on his watch. He says this new round of borrowing is going to specific projects that will improve conditions in the state. Let me read what he said to you. He said, quote, proceeds from the bond and Sukuk will enable various MDAs, including the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, the Ministry of Agriculture and the Office of Drainage and Water Resources, to execute respective projects that have been pre-inspected by the Securities and Exchange Commission, end quote. So this money is going towards electrification, water supply, drainage, and food security for Lagos. Now, Governor Sanwo-Olu is rounding up his first term, and my question today is very simple. Based on his administration's track record over 4 years, how confident are you in his promise that this 115 billion naira plus in debt will be used wisely in these sectors? Again, electrification, water supply, drainage, and food security. So how confident are you, based on his track record of 4 years, that this 115 billion naira plus in debt will be used in these sectors to improve conditions in Lagos? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. By the way, the bond is for 10 years, so Lagos State is supposed to repay in 2033. But between now and then, we're going to be paying interest to the bondholders. 01465-7190 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Hi, Sandra.
How are you doing? What's your name?
This is Bioye from Yaba.
Bioye! Your voice be like...
ages, right?
It be like UK visa.
Sorry?
Your voice be like UK student visa.
No! Okay, now that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I think right from the... from get-go, they make a lot of money even to do IELTS or if you want to evaluate your degree.
Yeah.
And then processing money for each person.
Yeah.
You get there. I mean, we're adding to the economy.
So we are.
At some point, they're going to have to do something if they want that money. That is a whole lot.
Mm.
The rice thing, it's my business what I want to buy. Personally, I prefer foreign.
Okay.
So all that one that he's saying.
Do you eat it because you wanna oppress your neighbors?
My neighbor doesn't know what I eat in my house.
Are you an oppressor, Bioye?
Like, they don't know what I'm drinking, Gary or granos or whatever. So that doesn't even hold water.
But they're seeing you when you're carrying the bag inside now.
No, they're not. You know, nobody knows what I eat in this house. what was the last thing?
Yeah, the last one. Debt, 115 billion. Yeah.
So I think that, I don't know a lot about what they've been doing with it, but his response clearly states or infers that they haven't been spending it wisely. Because if somebody says spending wisely, you should be like, oh, I've been doing that already. You understand what I'm saying? So I hope and pray that Mr. Dorothy will continue to do what he's doing right now.
Right.
Because we need somebody to do that.
Right.
So I'm really happy he made that statement, and we hope that the governor will do the right thing as he said he would.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sandra. Congrats on your...
on our award.
Radio station.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bui, and thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 99.3, hello.
Hello, Auntie Sandra.
Ah, why are you calling our line for women now? Good afternoon, sir. 99.3, hello.
Hey, Sandra.
How are you doing? What's your name?
This is Nonya.
Nonya, good to have you on the show. Talk to me, girl. Hello? Hello? Oh, that's unfortunate. We've got Sam from Mowe on the line. Sam, how are you? Hi, Sam. Are you there? Sam from Mowe, are you there? All right. Sam from Mowe is not there. Let's come back to the phone lines. 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. You are calling our number for women, eh? 99.3. Okay, let me go to WhatsApp then, so that WhatsApp people will not riot. We've got Dio here with a message for me. Dio sent me a graph. Dio says, Sandra, please see the statistics that the UK government is talking about. Nigerians taking the highest number of family members via student visa to the UK. So why? Highest number of family members, the UK gave them visas. Number one, number two, they are not going there for free. They are still shy adding to the UK economy. It's not as if the UK is a charity organization dashing people visas. Do you understand? You pay for the visa, you pay taxes to the UK government, you're paying rent, you're paying for public utilities as well. So sure, there are more family members for Nigerians going in there than say other people in other countries. However, they are sure not going there free of charge. We've got this message here from Ayodele in Lagos Island. Ayodele says, all these 150 billion naira borrowing are just for private consumption without much impact on Lagosians. All the earlier ones, what did we benefit? The state has become a squalor of every part. Congrats on being the best radio station, Ayodele. Thank you very much for that message. Ayodele also says, did our president use Nigerian hospitals? How many local rice producers can access their farms? Eat what you produce or die is just a statement of arrogance. The border closure was just a for Nigerians because imported rice found themselves into the market anyway. All right. Ayodele, thanks for your message. We have a break coming up, so let me look for a really short message to read. Kazim Inejigbo says, this statement further confirms the insensitivity of the Buhari administration. The entire members of the presidency are very careless with words. They talk anyhow. Buhari travels abroad for mere checkup and bound the rest of us to the Philistines with poor healthcare system. Good leaders lead with example. Unfortunately, his followers will still sing his praise and applaud him. History will never forget this administration. All right. Thank you, Kazim from Ejibo, for that message. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, I'll take more messages from social media. Don't forget, we'll talk about widowhood practices on the other side of 4 o'clock.